Hi, I'm Ronald Weaver from Santa Monica. You're listening to WGXC
Acra.
Oh dear, I really want to go upstate.
Well, I gotta put some gas in the car. You know, they're still rationing down here.
Oh, honey, I want to go up and see the 20-somethings upstate. They can't get jobs, and they're not washed. I'm going to bring a washcloth and a bit of my favorite lavender soap.
Oh, I love that lavender soap, honey. It really smells delicious on you.
Oh, think of how it will smell on the 20-somethings. They are so cute when they're sleeping in their cars.
Battlefield Earth. Every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Pink Zebra, the company that allows you to fragrance your personal space with special sprinkles created from scented soft soy wax. They do home parties, events, one-on-one shopping, and more. Information about Pink Zebra is available at area code 518-567-9420 or online at pinkzebrahome.com/sprinkles from Lacey. Pink Zebra. Change your fragrance. Change your life.
When the green woods laugh with a voice of joy, and the dimpling stream runs laughing by, when the air does laugh at our merry wit, and the green hill laughs at the noise of it, when the painted bird laughs in the shade, where our table with cherries and nuts is spread, come live and be merry and join with me, and sing the sweet chorus of ha ha he. When the meadows laugh with a lively green, and the grasshopper laughs in the merry scene, when Mary and Susan and Emily, with their sweet round mouths, sing ha he. When the painted bird laughs in the shade, where our table with cherries and nuts is spread, come live and be merry and join with me, and sing the sweet chorus of ha ha he. And when the
good afternoon, comrades. Well, if you have the radio on and you're hearing a song by William Blake, sung by a graduate of SUNY Albany and in a cave in the Catskills, it's quite likely that you are in tune to Poet Radio here on WGXC 90.7 FM. And this month's show is, edition of Poet Radio, is part of the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive. So one of the objectives today is to raise some money for the station. And the way I'm going to go about doing that is by playing recordings that I made last month in the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale as part of the 28th Annual Subterranean Poetry Festival held at the Widow Jane Mine. And I curated the event again this year and made the recordings, and they are on their way to being posted at Penn Sound, where I work as a contributing editor. This program, if you've listened to it before, you know that it is... Whoa, crashing going on outside. This program is dedicated to documenting and broadcasting and, to a certain degree, archiving literary activity in the Hudson Valley. This month's program marks my third year anniversary as a team member here at WGXC. My first broadcast was October 8th, 2015. Since then, I've had 31 different poets as guests on the program. All those sessions are available at the WGXC online archive. So we're moving along here with this year's program dedicated to the Subterranean Poetry Festival. And as far as the pullover pledge drive goes, a slightly different approach to things this time around. And that is what we are. Our main objective is to acquire sustaining members, that is, people who will give a modest donation on a monthly basis rather than, I mean, of course, we're still taking, you know, one-time gifts and donations. Please feel free to do that by going over to wgxc.org and you'll find the donate button for either one-time gifts or information on how to become a sustaining member. We need the money, as always. We are without any kind of commercial support here. It's a community radio station. Everybody pitches in and brings you the good programming. And to that end, we'll move back into material from Subterranean Poetry Festival. And the second piece here is a little ensemble work, something organized, arranged, produced by Tony Torn, featuring he and some of the other poets who performed at this year's festival. And what Tony decided to present is a cave scene from Jerry's Ubu Wa. And he explained that he was not satisfied with the translations he could find of Jerry's work. And he set about with Google translators and other methods to come up with a fresh translation. This is joining in the action, well, partway through the performance.
Enter bear.
Oh! Oh no, it's a little dog. Oh, it is nice, my baby.
Beware, how huge bear my cartridges.
Hey, bear, the atrocious beast. Poor man, here I am eating. Oh God, protect me! And it comes for me! No, it's the decent edges!
Bear pounces on Cotise! Stack! The stabbing attack! Ubu takes refuge on a rock!
Each turn to be eaten!
Oh, I will!
Bird friend, he begins to let go of me!
Oh, I bite! Oh, Lord, save us! I'm dead!
But blood must kill!
I managed to hurt him!
Hurrah! It loses its blood!
Amid cries of palatins, bear bellows of pain!
Hold the farm!
And Ugo continues.
Paternostum, Huda la Nobles!
Did you finally... I cannot anymore.
Shut up, Sikhat and our Dominicus Debroris Nostrix!
Bam!
An explosion sounds, and Bear and Battery and Cotise fall dead.
Victory! Sed Glubus Nosos Malo! Amen.
Finally. Is it really dead? Can I get on my rock?
I am dying with contempt. As you like.
You can flatter if you're still alive. And if you walk further, Lithuania snow! You need a magnanimous virtue of the master of finance, who is striven, loin, and a horse debit, paternosters to your salvation. And which handles with as much courage the spiritual sword of prayer that you address with the mania of the time here. This paladin Cotise, knuckle fist explosive, We even furthers our dedication, because we have not hesitated to ride on a rock high above, so that our prayers have less far to get to heaven.
Enter Bear.
Yes. So, little Tony Torn and ensemble. Ensemble including Liam Brown, Katie Bohintz, Douglas Rothschild, and Bob Holman. Poets whose work you're going to hear as the program continues today. And we opened up the show with Nancy Dunlop singing The Laughing Song, an old tune written by William Blake. And today's content of the program is coming to you from last month's 28th annual Subterranean Poetry Festival in Rosendale. And we're going to continue with that in a moment. But I did want to draw your attention once again to the pullover pledge drive. And last time I was on the air, I didn't mention the phone number here for the station, which is 518-697-7400. You can call in with donations, pledges, whatever you want to call them. Also, a really good way to do it is through the website wgxc.org. There at WGXC, you can find the station's extensive archives of all kinds of material, community-related, international transmission arts experiments, poet radio, and other cultural arts programs based here in the Hudson Valley. So we're part of a group called Wave Farm, doing really interesting work here at the station and out at Wave Farm with all kinds of experimental artists coming through as a result of our presence here. So worthy of support, certainly. A rare thing to have this hands-on community radio station with many, many interesting programmers and programs, a great variety of programs, all produced with skill and mastery. So we're out collecting donations. And please, if you have the ability to do so, get in touch with us, become a sustaining member, supporter, and give us a little gift, and we will keep the programming going. Up next, readings by a former guest on this program, Philip Good. Philip and his partner, Bernadette Mayer, were early guests on the program, I think January 2016. And at the Subterranean Festival, Philip gave a great but very short reading from his book, Poets in a Box, Pluto in Motion. And here it is.
Tom Raworth. Oh, and there's two stanzas. The first stanza is referring to Brent Mayer, and the second stanza refers to the title of the poet, Tom Raworth. One ubibo admiration asked, I might need my glasses. It's very dark in here. Aha. One ulipo admiration, added the nouns plus seven, counted the sestinas, taught them new tricks, a new senestique codex, Gertrude Stein preposterity, Brooklynese originality, wrote New England is awful, inspired and arranged for stage. Conversations with your house, performed in New Orleans. Not one group contains you, many groups embrace you. Rolling words off the tongue at the speed of light with multiple passports, Tom Raworth wrote his report out of breaking air, and imagination danced without boots on. Through habit and vapor, on both sides of the pond, a striking voice expanded perceptions across the field above the improbable. William Corbett. Spark moved movement, motion in middle conceived, photos and street works inspired by a painting, a title from Jasper Johns, only changed one word, only jumped off the page into city vortex once empty. The expanding birthplace of Soho and a New York generation only to escape and return to hold historic benefits to pervert the next generation. Under Boston conditions, William Corbett held court under ideal conditions, thinking while dressing, observing sky color, holding daily life, space, looked in another world, heavyweight influence, realized optimistic pleasure, created printed matter, helped create benefit, believed in Brooklyn, believed in next generation. Thank you.
Philip Good reading poems there for Tom Raworth and William Corbett, recorded in the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale, New York, last month, beginning of last month, September 8th was the day. And this is a very cool space. I don't know how many of you out there have had the chance to go out into the Widow Jane Mine, but it's this like a giant cavernous, something like a 5-acre underground area, most of which is taken up by a large pond. I don't think it's quite a lake, but it's filled with water up to a certain point. And stage is right behind, the water is right behind the stage. And, well, as you can hear, hopefully, in the recordings, the acoustics are great. The poet's voice is, and musicians' music always sounds great in there. And, you know, I think their work at the Century House and Widow Jane Mine is ongoing. So, if you haven't been there yet, maybe have a chance to get on over there in the future. This is Poet Radio. My name is Chris Funkhauser. We are in the midst of our pledge drive here at WGXC, and hopefully you're liking the things that you're hearing on the program today and other programs and across the spectrum here at WGXC. It's a really rare thing to have so many gifted people in a non-urban area coming together to put together great radio. So please keep that in mind. Try to send us some love by the way of a pledge, perhaps a sustaining member pledge, and we'll keep the good content coming. Speaking of which, we started the program today with a Nancy Dunlop singing, and now I want to play a couple of poems that she read. So check it out.
Ex machina. Just before the epiphany, we crack the egg against the fry pan, over easy, underdone. Just before the epiphany, we take in the mail, pick up the kids, drop off the dry cleaning, step in a puddle just before the epiphany. The wind claps through oak leaves, caverns out all that was and rises, spitting forestward. Just before the epiphany, we stir, half awake, half asleep, half something else. So this is a poem about exhaustion. No auspices house me. No rules pertain to anything in this place where I reside, and sometimes it grows to the point where maybe just a few rules, a few walls, some flooring, a roof, something strong enough to hold. What I mean is strong enough to hold and be there, be here in an unchangeable way that might, for a few minutes at least, do the trick without being just another tricking.
Nancy Dunlop, a couple of short poems she read at the Subterranean Festival this year. Nancy's poet lives up in the, what they call, the capital region. Nancy and I were classmates together as graduate students at SUNY Albany, and she has kept up her vivacious poetry and a great performer, gave a great performance of poetry and song at the Widow Jane Mine. And indeed, I one day out there in the mythic future hope to have her as a guest on the program. And, what else would I say right now besides that we're in our pledge drive? And please try to get in touch with us either by phone, 518-697-7400, or via our website, wgxc.org, and send us some donations to keep us cranking out the good radio here at WGXC. And if you're in the area, feel free to stop by sometime. We have an open door policy at the studio. And we're keeping the community radio going in a smart way. I don't know if you've heard shows like the Donald Trump Theater that Tom Rowe does, but if you're a righteous person, that is something you will want to hear. The station is great because it presents information and news from all sides, and in terms of music and artistic work from many different approaches. In general, an atypical approach to what you will hear on the air. Certainly something beneficial to one and all in the area, and via website and archive to people all over the place. I heard Nina talking in the last hour about the WGXC, the Wave Farm app, which is a great invention and something, if you don't know about it and you have the type of mobile phone that they call smart, that you should really look into and download, because it not only does it connect you directly with WGXC and what's happening on the air and archives and that sort of thing, but it also has a transmit button, which allows listeners to transmit anywhere from anywhere they have the cellular service. It could be a public meeting, it could be a performance, it could be any number of things. And this type of approach to broadcasting is obviously very innovative and interesting, giving some of the broadcast space over to listeners via the app. So this type of inventive, forward-moving techno thinking, benefits everyone and exists because of Wave Farm and WGXC. So we're asking for your support for that kind of thing. And I'm going to keep the program moving now. Next reader at the mine was Michael Joyce. Michael has been a guest on this program. It was about, I think it was last December. So you can check out that full session with Michael at WGXC via the archives here. Online. And again, all these, you're hearing little segments of the reading at the Widow Jane Mine. All the full readings by these poets are going to be available at Penn Sound in the near future. Okay, here's Michael Joyce.
This one also with an epigraph. And the epigraph's from W.J.T. Mitchell. What is the secret of the vitality of images? What is it that they want from us? The photographs. The photographs consort when there's no one to witness, converse, compete, assess, indeed sometimes confess themselves baffled at their intent or what it is they want of us. Some recognize their figures in another's depiction, yet lacking wonder or any sense of mortality, are mute. They think themselves theological, immune from time, yet they recognize how inevitably they dull, overcome by a corruptibility within that seems all chemical, as much their nature as the smoke and dander that defiles their glassy surfaces. Juxtaposed generations do not matter among them. Who one was once standing next to who he is now? Her mother in a montage like a film, saucy teen, femme fatale, uneasy grandmother still carefully coiffed, ripe lips like a crimson tea rose. They know none of this, history or song alike to them. Asking what they know is fruitless as interrogating a shadow about someone's destination or asking wind the form of a wave. In myth or in movies, children hear tin soldiers murmur in the darkened nursery. Dolls giggle or shush when someone nears. It's thought comforting to depict our fears so amiably. The world of representations possessed of commonplace desires, the so-called gift of speech, a world within the world wherein we live, not solitary but surrounded, even the walls whispering. What it is they wish unknown to us, nor why we sit rapt before the screen or betimes spellbound at our feet. Eventually, it's clear that these dim figures on the page inhabit her, that such a conjuration is likewise possible for us. In time, we come to wonder whether any image might yield such raptures, and we long to ask her this. In these caverns, silver blackens, what shades there are artifacts, nitrate creases framing ghostly light, benign ancestral shapes from which we've lately turned away. Hereabouts, Pythagorean sequences prove seductive, an autotelic consciousness sitting upon the void. What is the mind of landscape no longer in question, yet still upon this plane? The perennial dumb show descends, the desert night arrives as if bringing an ice block into a small room and setting it upon a felted table around which the stones gather as if in a rotogravure, a vague broom rising whenever a palm passes over it, dealing the cards for solitaire, this bright square a portal to liminal questions, the forms dispute among themselves, begging differentiation. Romany ballads over distant radio, smoke from a far cabin off screen, indecipherable, melancholy glow of the dial, Milky Way, Fata Morgana. The eyes of daguerreotype portraits hold others within memories of what the sitter has seen, waiting still for the oncoming radiance, lifted up into an alloy throne in a flash of light, argentite and antimony annealed, the polished pewter tablet of the prophet Habakkuk, in which write the vision and make it plain upon with pasteboard, each pasteboard a gravestone, prim faces composed of angular cheekbones, tight smiles, air of incredulity awaiting the parlor with it in hand, a small vaudeville, not exactly of one's doing, yet irrefutably one's familiar, a dream twin appearing in a still pool, perhaps unremembered by morning, except as a vagrant ache. Thank you.
Michael Joyce here on WGXC 90.7 FM. Michael Joyce, a Vassar professor, a really great writer, has explored multiple mediums for his writing. And as I said, former guest on the program, lucky to know him, lucky to be able to share his work and that of everyone else's with you on the program today and monthly. So we're going to continue to do that. The number here at the station, as I have mentioned, is 518-697-7400. It'd be great to hear from you with pledges or for any reason, really. We're happy to have the support we have had so far, and hoping to garner just a little bit more over the next week or two. Well, back to the subterranean reading. We've gone through four of the five readers in the first set, first set of poems in the cave ended with Leanne Brown, and here we have a segment of her reading.
Okay, and this is a ballad I wrote on the 100th anniversary of Cecil Sharp coming to America to look for the lost songs from the British Isles, where he found many of them, like Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair, and a lot of amazing songs that we think have always been in the record, but were sort of lost for a while. So it's like a patchwork ballad with different voices thrown together, but the tune sort of sutures it up, but it is different people speaking, mostly women from the hills of Appalachia. So. And it's to the hymn tune, Immortal Invisible. If anybody went to a Protestant church, you might know it. But. And one of the theories, of course, is that all the Protestant hymns were, the tunes were stolen from ballads. So I'm restitching them back together to the love songs. Come, balladers, fiddlers, gather around. A man's come from England to gather our songs. He's heard those old love songs still live in our town. A lady's here with him, she's writing them down. From a city called London, out over the sea, he looks like a kinfolk, like Aunt Oralee. This Englishman's queer now, he don't eat no meat. His clothes, they're so fancy, those shoes on his feet. He's writing down music, the grace notes and all. I won't stop, I know it, till his book is full. The stars fall in August all over the sky. The Milky Way's churning the sweet by and by. Old love songs, old sad songs, impossible rhymes. Give them to your children, they'll make them their own. I'm birthing my baby high up on the ridge. She'll know all those love songs sung over the ledge. My sweat runs down furrows of my lonely brow. I wake and I'm crying, oh Lord, take me now. The songs are a blessing, a friend in the day, or black as a nightmare, oh death stay away. There's ladies and knights be alive in these hills, there's fairies and elves hid at the lip of the well. That bird over yonder, take care what you do. He'll spy you, he'll chide you, if you've something to rue. Oh, take back your hymn tunes and splice them with these new stories. Our tabloids, we're down on our knees. At least we're alive now, little Margaret's no more. So let's sing those old songs from the opposite shore. The songs are still living up under the hill. They pour out at daybreak, they're sung in the mill. They're deep as the bedrock of green serpentine. A snake ate a hoe cake of all of our dreams. Oh, daisies, I see you, you're rolling my way like stars up above me, now falling away.
Thank you.
crowd going wild there for Leanne Brown's ballad sung in the Widow Jane Mine last month. Show focusing today on the Subterranean Poetry Festival 2018. We've heard the poets who read in the first set so far. That is Tony Torn plus Ensemble, Philip Good, Nancy Dunlop, Michael Joyce, and Leanne Brown. This is Poet Radio. My name is Chris, and program airs monthly here on WGXC. Has been on Thursdays, third Thursday of every month. I believe this is going to change fairly soon, but you can keep abreast of all of our program changes and programs, in fact, via the website wgxc.org. There you can find a donate button to try to, if you can, help us out with some funds, as always needed here to keep things running smoothly, and even not smoothly, just to keep things running. A lot of high quality programming, volunteer work at this community station, so we have to hit you up every couple times a year. This is that time of the year. In the fall, a crisp day here in the Hudson Valley. Maybe not frost yet, or at least where I live down in Rhinebeck, but tonight, tomorrow night, sometime soon, we'll be getting it. Winter's coming, right? So let's dive in now to the second set of readers from this year's Subterranean Poetry Fest. And this is a segment from Katie Bohens.
I think of this one as the fish poem, like the band, you know, P-H-I-S-H. Feathers and marbles. Stepped out of the aphoristic haze into a gas land of giggles, a Candyland disco swirling over green grass blades, clacking white cloud planes, chattering on sweet havoc. Days laid swollen as raspberries in fall. Sitting on top of your life, belt notch forest tripping way above the trees, soaring into an iceberg of fog, dizzy from the song. Love me do, beat me blue. Swooping into Zeno's paradox where you just can't find the faith to jump across the river. Tomorrow you'll wake from swimming, see the diamond glitter on the Elmer's glue, where the ring's not a chain and our mothers aren't slaves and bleach isn't killing whales or your natural tan, just feathers and marbles piling slowly in a can. Sideways, never ways, always, some days, whatever ways the lonely stork carries bebes. So she whispered in your ear, so it was once clear like Simone Weil in New York, what's real. And for once, skipping would do instead of the kneel to Alyosha's grace. You forgave your face, the mirrors, your friends. Words hum slow. Listen. Caress the street with amniotic pink. Eggshells or firecrackers in the end, in the great plain where everything is a burial mound in Ohio. Handsprings in a dusk field of fireflies, purple and ripe and gaping, crying with rehearsal, stroking the mantra, resetting the clock, oiling the grease in the knot before you step off the dock. Eyes anchored to the horizon where infinity meets parallel lines, the tide of ghosts, out of the aphoristic haze into eternal giggles and a perfect circle.
Katie Bohens reading in the Widow Jane Mine there. You can hear in the background, I think, some of the water falling from the ceiling. It was a cool-ish, moist day, afternoon. And as the afternoon went on, the ceiling dripped more and more. Just one of those subtle texture things maybe you have to be listening for. I don't know. Anyway, I know Katie has a new book out called Scorpio. I'm not sure if that poem is in it. I think it is. Anyway, Tender Buttons Press is the publisher, and Tender Buttons is a project of Leanne Brown's for many, many years. So there's a connection there. One of the nice things I liked about this year's festival is that was an equal balance between people we can call upstaters and then there's a city contingent. Five and five, nice balance with regard to that. So I'm happy to bring you this show, this reading. It was a glorious afternoon, the great audience, and poets always bring their best work to the Widow Jane Mine every time I've attended, and the times I put it together, I was just always so impressed with that space and what people bring into it. I'm also quite impressed with this space, the WGXC space, and what people bring into it. So many fine programs, a great group of people to know and be connected with and to work with and to be inspired by. So we bring the radio live to the region. We bring programs and circulate programs via the internet streaming as well. And you as a listener, if you want to participate in the station, well, you can. If you're in the area, you could apply for a program. Or if you're remote, you can grab our Wavefarm app and begin to start transmitting material from wherever you are onto the station's website. It's a really great tool. Something that requires maintenance, upkeep, as do the studios and whatnot here. So we have to have these pledge drives. And this is the pullover pledge drive. So maybe pull over, tune into our website and make a donation, become a sustaining member. Whatever you can to help us keep going. The next poet up on the program today and on the program that day is Joan Retallick. Joan was my guest here on the show, I think in 2016 or 2017. We did a segment together. And she is reading here from a longer piece. It's just an excerpt of something I think that is titled Blood Litany, and a very, very intense and beautiful piece. So, without further ado, Joan Retallick.
The Confession. We have been guilty of empty rhetoric, rationalization, phantom eloquence, pernicious binaries, misleading dichotomies, negligent formal and informal fallacies, shirking burdens of proof, constructing arguments with internal coherence but no external relevance. We have played logical games with faux metaphysical premises. We have played logical games with faux metaphysical implications. We have proclaimed QED when none was warranted. We are guilty of numerous formal fallacies. Denial of the antecedent, affirmation of the consequent, affirmation of the antecedent, denial of the consequent, illicit major or minor premises. We are guilty of numerous informal fallacies. Fallacy of origins, genetic fallacy, ad hominem fallacy, ad feminin fallacy, reductio ad absurdum, ad misericordium, ad ignorantium, tu quoque, sounds less shameful in Latin fallacy. Sounds more authoritative in Latin fallacy, the moralistic fallacy, the naturalistic fallacy, the pathetic fallacy, the false analogy, the weak analogy, the red herring, the slippery slope, use of straw men.
Oh, I hate to have such a short segment of that piece. Joan Metallic piece, that is. But I wanted to jump on here and remind listeners who are would like to hear more of that and hear her, in fact, her performance in complete, should do so via Penn Sound. Now, the recordings I made of the event aren't posted yet on Penn Sound, but they're in the pipeline and they'll be up there soon. So, and if you don't know about Penn Sound, I check it out. It's the world's largest archive of poets reading their own poems, a project that's been happening at the University of Pennsylvania, I believe it's 18 years, but it could be more than that. Anyway, wonderful project full of thousands and thousands of MP3s worth listening to. You know, we have an archive here at WGXC. Also, these programs, every program on WGXC is documented and archived and available to for listeners to check out asynchronously. And that's, one of those many things that requires upkeep or requires, costs of different sorts. So please keep in mind, we're on our pledge drive, looking for pledges. We are looking for sustaining memberships as well. Right now, I'm going to return to the poetry. And this is another former guest of the program, a woman who lives in Rhinebeck and works at Bard College. Wonderful poet named Erica Kaufman.
Post-classic. And I'll say this is also the My Blood poem that I wrote for that same journal. Post-classic. A riverboat is one way to promise to get air circulating, like questions of hierarchy rectify and perhaps process ballet as invention, simple local movement. Be my horse, ask to be told a story swollen with halo magic, a hats-off narrative mandate to perform earnestness as choice, where boundaries are called anniversary or vocation, and a woman walking more precious stone. When I say I'm driving through mountains, I mean not just words or filth, skepticism, and pronouns. Staccato is ordinary reception, like rabies or PowerPoint or generic welcoming verbs who need punctuation. Redemption is fascinating, a narrator with personality, all fiction. My hero dissolves, all men build fences instead of haunting. She draws on emotion and other vocabularies of management, somehow located between two houses, yet outside of any home, underground, roofless, still hosting. If directives are always preposterous, to begin, let's focus on lyric as weighted speech, weighted because no period costume serves rapture, proxy for roughness, for posture, annotated, a heat map. I need to see precision sincerely, its public outlets, intimacy laden, social. Every limb should concern us, every visage perhaps constructive. Our rapport steers imitation, severs anatomy from. I know I worry, respect common sense, worry about desirable and human and ecology and anger, but no one asks us. A hypothesis defines common sense. To say I don't read the newspaper is misleading. The problem isn't offense, it's where to put the ball. How to reconcile the fact that the past is important, is valid, because I need to understand how to shoot from another's shoes. To say, be mindful of the air you inhabit, take up, require. Imagine a construction who holds up a mirror, works his autograph book full of pre-secondary theories of friendship and cliffside bleacher seats. My bed is uncomfortable, where sense reckons, splinters. I'm adulting so hard. Say to Joshua, this project, I have feelings, like anger and drama, neither portable sanctuary, psychometrically viable, visible. I speak only with strangers. Tell Derek I'm interested in names, not characters, a weird notion of public exclusion, of thought clouds we carry into monolith. After the descent, I stitched together blood type in favor of showmanship a cappella, multifaceted in our conversion narrative. driven by tablets and injury and various drugs dug up to replace boundless anatomy, aimed to earn rumor shrouded in shipwreck temptation, historically iron more powerful than prophecy and other currency, excessive. I become transfused by how enthusiasm wears the weight of detail, how meaningful is defined randomly, a substitute for authentic connection, rather a bandage, parasitic, lab coat, lapdog, sterile, lyric, epistolary, gestational play, de facto rehabilitation clan. Stranger, I ask after the defense commercial, after ants gather to assert behavioral vice in flip chart desert process. Let's not boast or bench service, plot neuroplasticity equipment, commission. I say sustain me, enabling matrices, inventive. Most mornings, a tree is just a tree. Thank you.
Erica Kaufman, reading at this year's Subterranean Poetry Festival from her work, Instant Classic. You know, it's amazing how quickly, at least on my end, an hour can pass, and we're running almost out of time, another 10 minutes or so here. But I did want to jump on and say something about this next reader, a guest on the summer program last summer, Douglas Rothschild. Douglas at the Widow Jane Mine appeared on the stage by paddling an inflatable, like an inflatable rowboat across the underground pond, emerging onto the shore. And while Ezra Pound was recording, was reverberating through the room. And Douglas was wearing a wetsuit on stage. This is definitely a first for me, probably everyone who is there to see a poet on stage reading in a wetsuit. But I'm going to play his poignant conclusion to his poignant piece here. Enjoy.
Finally, when I said, okay, you don't want to give the name of the funeral home so that I can figure out how I get an urn and how we can get mom's ashes put into it, I suppose you, and therefore everyone else, will be okay with me coming to the cemetery with the urn and a spoon, which I will then use to spoon mom's ashes from the wooden box into the urn that I have brought while everyone stands around watching. Finally, I had gotten Lloyd's attention. Kara called to check in on our progress with the urn, and I explained to her that it seems your dad has relented on the urn issue, but he has held fast on the will not communicate issue. He keeps insisting that if you need an urn, you can get an urn. He hasn't bothered to try to figure out that it's not that simple. How does one get an urn? How do the ashes get transferred? He could not grasp that I needed to communicate with someone who handles this sort of thing for a living. He could not understand that I didn't need an urn, but Mom probably did. I tried to explain to him that it's not about me, it's about the eight of us. But he would have nothing of understanding and passed it back to Mitchell. Okay, tell Mitchell you want an urn. It's easy enough. They will put ashes in before I pick it up on Thursday or after when I have time to go. But he still would not tell me the name of the funeral home. My niece wondered at why he was so insistent on not talking about anything. I explained that by not talking, he either wins because people give in, or people do as they will and he wins because no one listens to him. They both do this, Lloyd more like Mom, and Mitchell even more like Mom. But Dad was like that too. So finally, he sent me a note. Okay, I guess we can leave things as they are. As if none of our other conversations had occurred, or that I hadn't actually meant what I said, either how myself and his children were in agreement about getting an urn, or about how contacting the funeral home and making arrangements through them. So I replied, ah, nope, since you didn't seem to want to bother dealing with it after spending a bunch of energy making certain that you controlled the decision, I called Nardone. It is only $3.95 for the urn and transfer of the ashes. Nardone is sending me some pictures in the morning. I will forward them to you and anyone who would like to see them. He didn't care about seeing them. No, whatever you choose is fine. Chapter 3, Denouement. As the day of the service and interment approached, the lack of communication continued. Lloyd informed us, Mitchell made special arrangements for burial workers to be there. However, Mitchell informed us that at 9 a.m., they are normally closed, but made an exception for us. The gates are open at 8, but there will be no burial workers, and we need to not take up too much of their time. It has also become clear that there wasn't going to be much of a funeral. Lloyd did not seem to have called any of Mom's friends, not that she had many anyway. In any case, I was running late, so I sent a message to my niece saying, 2 hours before the event, I'm 15 minutes late. Talk to your dad and Mitchell. Try to get them to not freak out. And she responded, saying, I will tell them, and I will make sure that they don't start without you. I told her not to worry, because they couldn't start without me. Mom was riding with me.
Very good, Douglas Rothschild, performing in The Widow Jane Mine. We're going to move right into the next piece, which is Bob Holman.
Write down the names fast. That is also a garden. Put it together in a way different way. Past thought cutting is making it up. Oh, snip, 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 snip. Hey, scrap. Number 857. Look, look at it. Start with the lyre as form. As form. And the music is your eyes. Going up,
This is a recording of Bob Holman, recorded at the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale. This